We welcome to the Newsline Pamela Falk, a CBS News foreign affairs analyst stationed at the UN. We see her on TV and on the radio. Columbia Law, studied and worked in the U.S. Congress for a time, and highly informed on the foreign affairs. Good morning, Pamela. Thanks
morning.
For calling in.
Good morning, Mark. Very nice intro, but what does it get you when, I mean, I was sitting there at the United Nations watching. The General Assembly meets, they're all talking, negotiation, then the Security Council at 9 p.m. last night said, wait a minute, we better meet, this is not looking good. And in the middle of the meeting, the attack starts. And I'm sure I thought the Ukrainian ambassador looked like he was going to cry. I mean, it was just such a shock to all of the countries. It shatters the European peace.
What can the world do?
Well, certainly stand together. That's the first thing, because no country can stand alone. Now, Russia has a new best friend, and that's China. But you didn't hear that really from China last night. I mean, they may bail out Russia when it comes to some of these economic sanctions, but they were, let's now go back to bargaining table, let's not take over all of Ukraine. But that's not what it's looking like. It's looking like right now the tanks are rolling in, there are bombs in Kyiv and the capital, and who knows? I mean, it's only in Putin's mind, but the Ukrainian ambassador told me on TV last week that Putin wants to go down in the history books as the leader who reassembled the USSR. So what can we do? We can make sure that people are aware that there's support for these sanctions, because the U.S. does not want to put boots on the ground.
If we had to guess, Pamela, do you believe that Putin is more interested in actually claiming the territory for the Russian government, or do you believe he's more interested in installing a puppet government that he can control there?
The latter.
The latter.
No question. That's what happened in 2013, 2014. He didn't like this new government that came in. The new government had come in canceling, or they wanted the membership in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. He put in a new government that canceled that. That guy got thrown out, and so he went in. And it took Crimea and a piece of Ukraine and started the ball rolling on what happened 2 days ago, which is Russia recognized these two provinces. I mean, imagine if another country came in and took two states in the United States and all of a sudden said, now they're ours, and just took a chunk. I mean, it's just sort of mind-boggling. Now, those two provinces in the east, in what's called the Donbas area, Lugansk and Donetsk, are provinces that are on the border. There's no question that both sides of the border, in Ukraine and in Russia, there's a lot more relationships, so it's a lot more complicated. And when the Soviet Union fell in 1991, 92, they were families sort of divided. But that's not the majority of Ukrainians. And in 2014, when Putin went in, people were about 50-50, according to what the polls I've seen. Because Ukraine has been a democracy, you can see that. But today, the Ukrainians are about 90% against any Russians coming in, and they'd like membership in the European Union. They'd like eventual, which wasn't going to happen tomorrow, wasn't going to happen for a few years, membership in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And this just shows that Putin isn't stopped. Now, what can we do? We can support these sanctions, but all of it is hitting the U.S. I mean, the oil prices are as high as they, you know, are skyrocketing, and the stock markets are down because nobody wants war.
Well, let me ask you this question. Putin has said, don't mess with us. Stay out. Any other country that gets involved or tries to interfere with us, they'll pay a tremendous price. If you had to speculate about who has the upper hand with respect to sanctions and things short of war to modify someone's behavior, would you give the nod to Russia or to us?
I think the West. When you look at European relations with Russia, especially Germany, who had negotiated for years this what's called the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which was a natural gas pipeline that went from Russia to Germany via Ukraine. That's canceled. All of Europe is going to be hit really hard, and Europe trades with Russia more than we do, and so those kind of cutoff sanctions, biting sanctions, will have to hit. Now, he's known that sanctions were going in, and sanctions have gone in for many years, and so Putin isn't stupid. He put his money elsewhere and has all his personal money maybe protected, but the government can't function without the financial reporting systems, and those are the ones that I think we're going, I mean, that are supposed to go in, and we'll hear from President Biden today. So some really tight sanctions may hit. It will also hit the rest of the world. It'll hit the United States, and it'll hit Western Europe.
Now, you're really familiar with the United Nations, and of course, on the Security Council, the Russians have a veto. Can the UN at all be effective in this with Russia sitting there saying, yet?
Yes, but not in any enforceable way, is the bottom line. In other words, the General Assembly is 193 countries, has no real power except the bully pulpit, as we say. You know, they can, if you see the whole world condemning Russia, except for maybe Belarus and China and a few other countries, then you see that they're going to become somewhat of a pariah state. On the Security Council, which is what you're talking about, it's 15 powerful nations, five of the permanent members, and all of those have vetoes. Russia's actually the president, who sets the agenda of the Security Council for the month of February, so that's about to end. But they still have the veto. So what the plan is right now is for the Security Council to come up with a resolution that condemns Russia. They'll veto it, and then they'll go to the General Assembly for a unified statement.
A lot of folks say President Biden, and when he was vice president, and his life in the Senate have taken a series of steps and missteps that led to this and led to Putin's action today. A lot of folks say President Trump did what he could while he was in office that would have prevented this from happening. Your view on what the U.S. presidents had on this global crisis?
Well, I think it's very hard. I mean, I don't mean to sidestep it, but it's very hard for a U.S. president to sidestep this KGB master, Putin, who, I don't say it in a good way, who will do what he has to do, and he's a nuclear power. Ukraine, by the way, ironically, gave up its nuclear weapons in exchange for recognition of its borders and its sovereignty. That wasn't a smart move, as it turns out. And I don't think either Trump or Biden would be able to do what they had to do to stop Putin at a certain point, because the only way to stop Putin may be militarily. And so this will take a little more time, but I think it will come around to at least stopping Russia in its tracks. But, you know, we heard this song before in World War II, and we'll just have to see how it plays out. I think when people start to see civilian casualties, which we're starting to see this morning, the reality is going to hit that this is not just Russian tanks go in and he puts in a puppet government. The Ukrainian people don't want the Russians in there, and it's going to be a Ukrainian versus Ukrainian, almost like a civil war.
The last time we heard the words denazification, it was in 1945, and General Patton was getting in trouble for keeping Nazis in power to make things run. Is the Ukraine somewhat far right? Are they fascist there?
You've got a great sense of history, Mark.
No, that's a joke.
No, I think they're just on the other side. I mean, you've seen Zelensky. I mean, he was elected. Volodymyr Zelensky, the president, was a comic. You understand that? I mean, he was somebody who was a popular leader. People compare him to Reagan. He's someone who wants what everybody else in Europe wants, and that's a piece of the pie. They don't want communism. They don't want. I don't think they're. The government could be described as fascist in any way, except that they don't want what the Russians want. Now, look, you have to, if you want to go back in history, Nikita Khrushchev When he left power, he retired in Ukraine. He gifted Crimea to Ukraine. There's a lot of relationship here between Russia and Ukraine, and they both see each other as sort of part of the family. Now that's changed over time, and the Ukrainians want what we want. I mean, they want food and the West and everything that capitalism holds dear, and the Russians are threatening that. So I think what the only way to look at it is this is Putin exercising a lot of military might where he can. It goes back to Thucydides. When you look at the Peloponnesian War, he said the strong do what they can, the weak do what they can, the strong do what they must. That's right out of the back of my brain.
Good for you. That's Joe with the fabulous history. Not me. Our audience was laughing out loud when you say that because
Mark doesn't know history.
I just have the opposite viewpoint on things. I don't even know what day this is, but okay. So, but really quickly, what is next?
I certainly don't. We left the UN at 2 a.m. last night,
Gosh.
Back at 8. So, they're going to try something tomorrow. But you know, it's just the power of moral power at this point, because the UN is set up to allow Russia and the United States and France and UK and China to have all the power.
All right. Well, we very much appreciate your observations, and thank you for calling in again. Great to talk to you. And
absolutely. No, great to talk to you.
We'll look at it. We'll
talk to
you.
We'll look forward to having you back again.
Right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks, Joe, for your history lesson.
That's one thing he knows. All right. Super. Pamela Falk, CBS News foreign analyst, stationed at the UN.